beautiful.
How are you?
Good. I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever, just because, like, even though, like, we text every day, like lunatics, but I feel like I haven't seen you forever.
I know. I've been so busy these last 2 days.
Well, your weekends are always nuts, but
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it. I do not know how you do it with, like, you're working. Well, like, you have school and clinic and then you work and then you do this.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, you have a 2-year-old and you're a single mom.
Yeah.
And the dog.
That's why I drink coffee at 9 o'clock at night.
That's true. You are. I thought you were going to say, that's why I drink. I'm like, you
rarely
drink. Every time I see you drinking, like, you point it out if it's an alcoholic beverage and it's always coffee.
Right.
It's like 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, okay, it's time.
I finished my coffee tonight. I'm like, all right, I have one. That'll get me through.
Meanwhile, like, I'm tired and I'm gonna need to go to sleep, like, right after this. But I had Coke with my dinner, like soda with my dinner.
Uh-huh.
So that caffeine made, like, fuck with my head. And
uh-oh.
But we'll see.
Do you know what fucked with my head?
Oh God, what fucked with your head?
This episode of Sister
Wives. Oh my God. I had to think of creative new insults for this guy.
I got teary-eyed again today. When, like, Christine started crying, I started crying.
About?
I don't know, just like the final goodbye, you know, even though it didn't, I don't know. At the end of the episode, I was just getting emotional. It reminded me of a breakup. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
it is a breakup, but I mean, even though they've really
with a hell of a lot of people involved. So yeah, the relationships are yeah, like, it is going to be strained totally and sad. And
yeah,
you know, and it's funny that you say that, because one thing that I've been, like, you know, I think that I've been noticing, but I haven't really been able to articulate so far, is that, like, you know, this is divorce. This is hard, right? Everybody's like, you know, Cody's so angry. Everybody's like, I don't know what to feel. This is weird. Like, why or how can you leave? How can we just untangle our family and stuff? It's as if they've never heard of divorce before, right?
Yeah.
And there's emotions and there's feelings and there's sadness. And it's, you know, like, even though it's the right thing to do, it's sad and it's going to be different. And I feel like that has largely gone unsaid. You know, we're seeing the anger. I'm not saying that there isn't the sadness. We only get to see, like, a fraction of it. They show us some of it with Christine.
Yeah.
But they only show Cody's anger. Maybe he doesn't have any other.
Well, and then, of course, everybody's going through different emotions. And a lot of times anger is the easiest one to release, right. You know, in any given situation. And but I'm sure there's a lot of grief. There's just a lot of different emotions.
There's a lot of stuff. Because, yeah, especially, I think, I mean, in the situation with, like, the wives aren't as clued in. You know, is Christine. Christine's obviously the most clued in. Janelle's going to be the second because of their friendship, you know, and then Cody obviously doesn't pay attention to anything because he, even though he talks on one hand about how he hasn't loved her since he married her. And on the other hand, you know, this is such a surprise to me. Why didn't you tell me? You know, she has.
And then, of course, in this episode, like, for a hot second, I thought he was going to actually be introspective, and he almost got there. He was almost there, and then boom, nope.
Let's start grilling the kids about what Christine has said to them.
Yeah. Oh, no smile.
Oh, God, it's like random stranger telling you to smile. So this is episode 11, Sister Wives, The Worst Goodbye. Welcome to But We Digress. It's Katrina and Lexi here tonight. Hanakawa is down for the count with sickness again. Poor girl.
Feel better.
Yeah. Love and light. Thoughts and prayers. We love you. We miss you.
Hugs.
Hugs. XOXO. So we're... So this is called The Worst Goodbye. It is The Worst Goodbye. This is why I like the Irish goodbye. That's my favorite kind of goodbye. If you don't know what the Irish goodbye is, when you just pick up and leave in the middle of whatever. You don't tell anyone you're leaving. It's the best way to do it. you're welcome. Now I'm your life coach.
I have a friend that always Irish exits. Like, where's Matt? Where did he go? Oh, yeah, he gone. He's gone. He gone.
Now that I'm starting to like go places again, like that has to be a consideration for me now, because you know, now that I'm re-entering the world. Okay, so we have a couple of scenes of this. We have Christine and Janelle getting together to bitch about Cody, right? And bitch about Cody's response and to bitch about Mary and Robin, I'm sure. Although we didn't get to see that on camera, I'm sure they did that when the cameras weren't around. But Christine says she didn't realize that her actions towards Robin, she said she could have tried harder with Robin, but she didn't think she was being like mistreating her or, you know, or anything, or being mean, right? Mm-hmm. And she feels badly about that. She's like, I don't know what to do about that. I didn't, you know, mm-hmm. She's the most self like aware woman ever. Like throughout all of this, she's like, yeah, oh, okay, I screwed up. Mm-hmm. You guys, it's not that hard.
She's
like,
owning it. She's owning
she
it.
She is. It's telegraphed to the rest of the family. Like, it's okay. You can screw up. You can say that.
Yeah.
Janelle says that she was shocked at Cody's behavior, and which I find interesting, especially given that Gwendolyn on her TikTok thing, one of the things she said was that he was nicer on the show than he was in real life. Mm-hmm. And he's not very nice on the show. So that makes me wonder why Janelle was shocked at his behavior. Maybe his behavior is just not that emotionally like outpouring. And she suspected it's just been deep with him and he bottled up his emotions and he finally exploded.
Yeah. Yeah. He low key is just like mean all the time. He makes little snippy comments all the time. So I can mm-hmm. see how he would walk around like that around the family, but
yeah, maybe he's not an explosively angry type of person. And so when he got all aggressive, you know, that was kind of shocking to her, she said. Mm-hmm. Christine also says that it sounded like when she told Robin that she didn't want to like really try with people that she didn't have a great relationship with. Just as a recap on the last conversation, Robin asked Christine, well, okay, so what about those people you don't really have great relationships with? Are you still going to try or do you just need space? And she's like, I need space.
Fair enough.
Which is all totally fair. And Christine thought she was just talking about herself. She didn't realize that Robin was also talking about her kids. And yeah. She never intended it that way. But she doesn't know how to apologize for that. You know?
Yeah.
So you know, again, she's owning her you know, mm-hmm. she's owning her stuff. She said, you know, she's really sorry because she fully intends to talk with the kids and have those kinds of relationships as she tries to facilitate truly continuing to have relationships. And Robin's like, yeah, I met my kids too, but oh well. She's so Eeyore this episode. Yeah. She's like Eeyore.
And then at the end, I mean, Christine doesn't say anything to Robin about it at the end of the episode, so I'm wondering if
maybe they did
the editing or the mm-hmm. you know, when they film certain things, because I feel like she should have or would have said something at some point.
And maybe they did and we just didn't see it, you know.
Yeah.
And then Janelle was talking about how they have to figure out how to navigate going forward, you know, because they're not sister wives anymore, right? But and they've talked about each other. They've not liked each other. They've had their issues, but Christine says, you know, they're like what best friends now. So, yeah. She's like, we don't know what to label it since we're not sister wives, which I don't think it matters. You know, I mean,
I don't either.
Everybody's relationship.
Have to have a label? Like,
yeah, no, they're, you know, I don't think so. They're just, you know, okay, they're not sister wives, but they have become close and, you know, they are besties and why not?
Yeah.
Why can't they? Cody. Cody then talks about, he's like, I've wanted my wives to be close, you know, for years. And Christine has spent the last 4 years bad-mouthing Janelle over the one house thing, which, first of all, no, she wasn't bad-mouthing Janelle. She was bad-mouthing the house. Mm-hmm. She wasn't bad-mouthing Janelle specifically. So let's get that straight. And Cody continues, you know, and now that they're besties, and then he says, and I've been trying to have a closer relationship with Janelle, which the fuck you have, you human version of period cramps. Like, no, you have not. The fuck you are. But she seems to only want a relationship with Christine. I don't know. Maybe because you're like human hot dog water.
Like, yeah. Maybe they can commiserate together because they're dealing with the same like douchebag of a husband.
She doesn't want to hang out with you because you're just not a great guy. I don't know. And you're being mean to her friend, you know?
Yeah.
Which is now a whole new dynamic, right? So I think Janelle, you know, is realizing through this, as she's realizing that she doesn't have assets and she's trying to change that. And she, you see her kind of like the wheels.
Gears are turning.
The gears are turning, right? You know, this whole thing, as she's helped Christine figure this out, because as her friend and fellow sister wife married to the same guy, like, I'm sure, you know, obviously they've talked about this stuff. And then as friends, and then now, you know, Christine has seen, or Janelle has seen all this stuff now, that she's opening her eyes to things that maybe she didn't see before. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, when you start to realize that this guy that you're married to is being mean to your best friend, mm-hmm. like that changes things too. It's not just like, oh, my, you know, I'm married to kind of a dick, but oh wait, you know, oh wait a minute, but he's being mean to my friend, and I'm also married to him, and you know, there's got to be a lot of like mindfuck stuff happening for Janelle with that.
Definitely.
Janelle talks about not wanting to be on a side and doesn't know how to be on a side, but, and they talk about this, no one should be picking sides, which yeah, you know, but people are, I mean, admit mm-hmm. it's a divorce. People are going to have sides.
Yeah.
Not everybody will. You don't have to pick a side, but there are some people that, you know, when you break up, I get this person, you get that person, mm-hmm. you know, that friend or whatever. And so there's going to be that. So Janelle talks about her duty to her family, Cody, Mary, Robin, but then she also wants to be with Christine and her kids at the holidays. So either way, mm-hmm. she's going to be screwing somebody, you know, and I don't think Christine would be mad at Janelle if Janelle stays with the family during the holidays.
It's telling me Janelle's going to go with Christine.
Though. Right. Like that's what she wants to do because she doesn't want to hang out with the rest of them. She wants to hang out with Christine and her kids. But see, Christine wouldn't get mad if Janelle stayed with Cody and Robin and Mary. But
no, Christine's basically, but she's got a life.
They would get mad at Janelle if Janelle went and hung out with Christine.
I agree with you. Yes.
Right.
Definitely.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Christine has all of her kids, her grandkids now.
And how close they all are.
Yeah. And I mean, look who helped her move. Like, her mm-hmm. family helped her move. I didn't see Robin's perfectly capable children helping her or anyone else.
Speaking of her perfectly capable children, I don't know if you've been, you probably haven't been, but diving into like some of the like sister wives TikTok, sister wives is amazing. People are doing amazing things, and there's a couple of different subreddits on it, and so much research and so much stuff that's happening. And a lot of people are going back and doing rewatches of the entire series, which I plan to do as well, but I just haven't, there's too many other things.
Yeah,
I just got sucked into Below Deck today. or last night, and then I continued it tonight. Which I go in and out with that show, and I just happened to catch it on TV and got caught in a marathon. But so all these people are doing these rewatches. And one of the things that has come out, well, that people are noticing and talking about now, is there's a couple, I don't remember which season it is, but whatever one they're talking about moving to Flagstaff, Dayton says he got accepted to college there. So now there's this, yeah, see your look on your face.
Okay.
But it was said, when Dayton said it, it was kind of like, I guess, in this sort of offhand manner, you know. Mm-hmm. But now the whole speculation, and I think there's more reason behind this as well. There's other things that are saying, because people are finding all these red flags and all these comments that are being said that relate to what we're seeing and finding out about now. So I think it's fascinating. Yeah. I'm watching all this social media to do this. So did they move to the entire family to Flagstaff? So, because that's where Dayton is going to college.
The only thing I remember Cody saying about Flagstaff, and I could be wrong, it was a while ago, but I think he said that it was like a very liberal town in, or city in Arizona, and he wasn't worried about persecution from polygamy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I remember about that. So I have no idea. I don't remember the whole Dayton going to school there, potentially, or anything like that. Yeah, it's the little things you catch on the rewatches.
Yeah, I think it was an offhand comment as well. It wasn't like it was this like big plot line or even a subplot line, mm-hmm. as far as I understand. But there's these other comments.
Knowing Cody, he probably took like, if he want, like, let's say he wanted to move because of that, he would come up with like this whole scenario and manipulation as to why they should move to Flagstaff. Okay, guys, we should go to Flagstaff but really it's for something else, because he's just mm-hmm. manipulative. And
oh, for sure.
You know.
Well, and that's, and the other thing that people found out is there's the Robin's house.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does she have that big giant house on the hill, they own the property next door to it. The
really?
Land, the parcel. They own the parcel next door to it. Yes.
What were they planning on doing with that?
I don't know. I guess it's a pretty common thing in fundamentalist polygamous Mormons. It was a TikTok, I believe, that I saw. Yeah. They own the property next to it too.
Is that for privacy purposes? Like, to
maybe it's for privacy purposes, but I also want to know the RV that's in the background at Robin's house. When McKelty and Tony are over there and they're all sitting outside, there's an RV right behind them.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. So there's this RV behind Robin, where Robin's sitting there holding the baby.
It's not Janelle's?
It's not Janelle's. Different color, totally different RV. And I was like, huh, maybe it's the cruise, something like that. But then somebody on Sister Wives TikTok was pointing out they saw it during season 16, they pointing out a scene there where they saw it there as well. And season 16, they all filmed themselves because that was the COVID season. So there wouldn't be any crew there that would need places to sleep, right? Why is there all this talk about everybody hates RVs except for Janelle, and then there's an RV that's
hate living in RVs. Vacation.
So why is there an RV parked next to Robin's house?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and if they're not going anywhere during COVID, why is it there? Because I don't remember them having it before. They haven't talked about it.
What is this? This mystery RV? If anybody knows, please tell us. Point me in the right direction. Anyway.
I mean, I'll live in an RV.
I totally would.
Cheaper.
So then they're talking about, Christine's talking about how Cody had said, let's get truly COVID tested every week, and then I can have her come over on the weekends and stay. But of course, dick-ass Cody never actually does this, right? Truly barely has never spent the night away from Christine, but also Truly doesn't really want to come over and stay.
Yeah, well, she said she went over there for like a few hours at a time, but, you know, not spending the night.
Yeah. And then, you know, Janelle's like, well, is she going to come visit for the summer? I don't think she would want to.
No.
Everything, all of the people that she likes, I don't know. I mean, yeah, she is being taken away from what she, basically all she knows, but it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine, you guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole new life. Sorry. Singing.
A whole new world, but that's world. Okay.
A whole new life. Yeah. Well, I was trying to, yeah, whatever. Because yeah, she says it's going to be a whole new life.
I'm just
when so... Janelle's pressing her on whether she's going to get married again, which is the exact same thing Cody asked her, basically, but for a completely different reason. Janelle's just curious and wants to know about her friend dating again. And Christine just talked about how everything's going to be starting over and all that. And then it's going to be a whole new life.
Exactly.
A whole new world.
Yeah.
Fantastic point of view.
I'm dancing. You guys can't see.
We're doing a little, yeah, Aladdin over here. we need to put these on a camera one of the, or like
I know
put out videos of us recording. Yes, I'm sorry. What were you saying before I started trying to sing?
I don't remember, but I think it had something to do with just COVID in general and how. Again, he's so picky and choosy about his COVID rules.
Mm-hmm. You can go to a wedding and dance with your face and other people's faces, but you can't hug your own kids.
He's the only one that can hug truly. Only me at the end of the episode.
Right.
And I was just like, is this guy for real? Like,
yeah.
What? Well, no wonder there's such separation between the kids. Like, you won't even let them hug each other or get near each other. Like,
but he was at that wedding dancing
right in
people's faces, like, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So then we have a little scene, Janelle and Cody out at the RV discussing, Janelle talking about wanting to move back to town for the winter and come back in the spring,
which made me think of Hanakawa, because Hanakawa was saying, remember, that she found the permit and that it was up in November. So sources were saying that Janelle was not on the property after November. And then she said it on this episode.
Right.
So obviously she moved somewhere.
That explains why she moved off. Unfortunately, it's not, she didn't leave Cody, but
I know.
At least not yet. We'll see if she does. I feel like the gears, like we said earlier, the gears are starting to turn.
Yeah.
And so they, at least though, there's talk about like, oh, talking to the building houser, you know, the building houser. The house designer, the house builder, the building out, I don't know, the person who designs the houses, she I guess is starting stuff, which is good. Mm-hmm. But it's taking longer than anticipated, so that's, she was, you know, originally going to stay and she wants to come back to the RV. She just, you know, it's going to be cold, she doesn't have the electricity and all these problems with this leveling the RV. And
how funny was that to see how like angry Cody got?
Leveler
never worked. It never worked.
Never,
it was a lemon.
Leveled.
You bought a lemon. Like, calm down. You probably just don't know how to work it. Chill out.
I know, right? It's never worked. It's never. Yeah. No, I'm thinking maybe you just.
User error.
User error. You just didn't know what the hell you're doing. But he's a man. Now, aren't there people out there that like you could pay to do this? Because that's
I would do. I'm sure it's super expensive, but
I'm sure there's RV people who can come out and do that for you, you know?
Yeah.
Cody says he's in a vulnerable place. And then he says, will she cross another line? And he's talking about Janelle. And I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? Because she dared to get this without allegedly consulting him, even though she did consult him. He just doesn't remember because he doesn't listen to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, Janelle didn't even look for a rental and didn't have a discussion about it. And Janelle's like, just no, we talked about it.
Yeah, she's like, if I wouldn't have done it, I wouldn't be in a house. I wouldn't be in a trailer. I wouldn't be anywhere.
Right.
Like, she has to actually do everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She said, I decided what I needed to do for me, and he sort of just has to be along for the ride. But if I waited for him to solve the problem, it never would have been solved. That's their exact quote. She talks about how she found a place. She can do a 6-month lease. She's already done the research on this, right?
Yeah.
Cody's all, here she is again, trying to do all this without talking to me and not involving me. And it's like, no shit. you know, she's trying mm-hmm. to establish herself, establish her assets. You can leave your ass.
Yeah.
Saltless pretzel.
Did you call him a saltless pretzel?
Yes.
I've never. Okay, that is amazing.
It's like bland hilarious. And disappointing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And Christine tells Truly that they're moving next week and that McKelty and Tony are coming out to help and that Truly's handling it all like a champ. And she basically goes dancing off to her bedroom to finish packing. Mm-hmm. Then you have the scene with McKelty and Tony and Robin and Cody and the baby. And then Robin,
which I thought it was sweet. It sounds like McKelty is trying to be a peacemaker. She's just trying to have everyone get along. She doesn't want mm-hmm. drama. She's just wanting and peace.
She has her own independent relationship with Robin, and mm-hmm. Christine doesn't see it as a betrayal.
Right.
That she still has that relationship. She doesn't expect it to change. And then, So McKelty and Tony are there, and they're talking to Robin and Cody. And Cody, woe is me, Cody, in his mm-hmm. brokenhearted state, which is his, you know, new single out today. my brokenhearted state. He starts talking shit about Christine, basically. And then this is, I have these notes. Why is there an RV in the background? Apparently it's there in season 16 too, is my notes. I'm like, what the hell? he's talking shit about Christine. Basically like, oh, I shouldn't do it. And I accuse her of doing it, but I'm doing it.
Yeah. Or
something that sounds like he's trying to be like.
Well, then he was trying to like dig information too, to get McKelty to talk about what Christine was saying in the past. And I'm like, first of all, why does it even matter? And why are you putting your daughter in the position to be like a wedge in between everything? Like, because just stop. He's
this narcissistic fuck is what yeah, he is.
Well, he's looking for a reason to be in the right.
Mm-hmm.
And not that there would be in the right, because Christine has every right to talk to her daughter about whatever she wants.
Right.
The hell she wants to talk
I
to
feel
her
like
about,
McKelty handled this situation so diplomatically.
She did. I think she handled it beautifully.
Because she like answered his question without betraying her mother's yeah. like trust or whatever, you know. But one of the kids, it was Gwen. Gwen says she was relieved to hear that they had separated because her mom had been happy for so long.
Yeah, and she said that she wished they would have separated before they even moved yes. to Vegas.
Yes.
I was like,
that's
wow.
what I was going to say. It's like, oh my God. And that goes along also with all the stuff that the people who are rewatching the series are noticing, all of these things that make it so obvious, like what we are learning now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Cody grilling McKelty. McKelty is just like, look, you know, has she been talking about it for a while? She's talked, but, you know, it's been, you know, ups and downs of a relationship. You know, she answered it without being specific about what she may yeah. have known, you know. He's moaning about how he's angry again and why am I the last to know, you know, which is mm-hmm. the B side of my brokenhearted state.
Why are you the last person to ask questions? Like,
why are you the last to know? Wrong? Because you don't pay attention when anybody talks yeah. to you. You don't listen, hear anybody.
It's very obvious that like I shouldn't diagnose people from afar, but I feel like he is ADD just like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he runs around, doesn't remember anything. I feel for the man. I do. I really do. But then
I don't feel for him at all.
Four wives and a million kids. If you can't focus.
If he had one wife and two kids, he'd still be the same way.
You're right.
He's just a narcissistic prick.
Yeah, you're
right.
He
doesn't care about other people and he needs to be worshipped and adored.
He hears what he wants to hear.
Mm-hmm. He has to be worshipped. He has mm-hmm. to be adored. And he gets that from Robin and he's not getting it from his
right.
other wives. And so Robin's the favorite. Here's a theory.
The favorite. She's the only.
Yeah.
There's
sort of this theory. One of the theories that's out there is that, you know, Cody married Mary and then he married Janelle and then he married Christine, you know, not because he was like in love with them, but in love in the sense of what he thought like polygamous love was. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then he meets Robin and learns what real love is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then
the rest becomes,
that's why he treats her so differently and has different standards with her. And I was like, well, that could be
true.
You know, that could be true. But he's also,
and then there could be another one coming along when Robin gets frustrated 10 years down the road. And then here comes another one that he can manipulate. The nanny.
What does the nanny do?
Do we even know how old the nanny is? Wow, she's like,
I don't know. And we know she got COVID. We know Robin got COVID. And apparently Robin's COVID was worse than anybody ever let on. Like, she was hospitalized and shit.
That sucks. That does
Which
suck.
Which sucks. But I'm also awful. Like.
I know. It's just.
Well, if you're, I don't know. If you didn't have just like arbitrary rules that weren't based in science, you know, maybe. But. Gwen says she was relieved to hear this. McKelty and Tony say they know how it's been bad for a long time. And Cody had to know their relationship was bad because it was obvious to everybody. Then they also, who else also is on the...
How do you not know your relationship is bad when you haven't been intimate in how many years?
I don't think he cares. I just don't think he cares because he never expects them to actually leave.
Yeah. And it's just like, how can you not be intimate with somebody for years as a married couple? And again, we talked about this before, like he's obviously being intimate with other wives or one. So he's not even realizing, I don't think, or understanding what that's like to not have a sexual relationship with your significant
other. And he doesn't care. He's like, it's perfectly fine for him to have these wives that he doesn't have sex with, which... It's not fair to them, which is why Christine's leaving, you know, but for him, he doesn't care because he can just have, he has other wives.
Yeah.
Garrison, they also show Garrison saying that he's not sad they're breaking up, but he is sad that Christine's leaving. But he's like, if I was Christine, I'd do it too, which he kind of did because he kind of broke up with his dad too. So then they have the scene, they're packing the trunk. Christine talks about it being bad juju in the bedroom. So it's time to leave it. She was excited. They're talking about, you know, McKelty talking about shedding the things that have emotions attached. Totally on board with all of that. Mm-hmm. Leave all that. McKelty then insists on one last goodbye with Robin, Janelle, and the kids. And it is so bad. This awkward scene.
It is totally production, by the way. 100%.
100% production, McKelty. Yeah.
No. Okay, we're going to get Robin to come over. Okay. Need you. 100%.
And Mary's not there because Mary's at the B&B, apparently.
Right. That was all. I will put money on it. Not that I would ever know the truth, but as someone that, I just know. I know.
So they do this whole, like, they're standing on one side. They're standing, you know, Christine's standing on one side. Cody and Robin on the other. Cody struggles to talk to Truly. Is very, like,
He's huffing and puffing like a toddler.
Tells her that her phone has video chat. She's probably like, yeah, I know. Fucking.
I've been waiting for you to call me for years during COVID. I've been using that
for years to keep up with my siblings and grandparents and other people.
Yeah.
He keeps saying he's leaving in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Whatever. Then he says he's creeping
in the window.
It's not right, and it's a little demeaning. What the hell is he talking about? What's demeaning?
I don't know. They'd refuse to come in the house. They wanted to stand outside like weirdos.
He's just spouting words again.
Yeah, heaven forbid COVID is inside of the house, but not outside of the house when you hug someone. But you can go inside to a wedding, dance with people.
In their faces.
Without knowing any of their, right. But, you know, heaven forbid you go, you know, you can't go into a house that's empty with like five people in it. Make it make sense.
Sorry, that triggered me. That whole scene, it was so awkward. McKelty talks about how this is a reminder that we're all family. Okay. Ari asks why Christine is leaving. Poor Christine trying to, your father's an asshole. It probably wouldn't go over well. So she handles it well. Ari tells them to go on dates. She's like, okay.
So
that's
cute.
Just not going to work, but okay. Thanks. thanks for trying.
I know.
Robin is devastated. She said it's devastating. That's it, really.
Yeah.
That's it. More sadness and anger coming next week. Next week, she's moving. Then we hear that the sale doesn't go through. And Cody asks Janelle why, you know, well, let's just buy it and then rent it out or whatever. And Janelle's like crying and like, oh, fuck no. And this is going to be, that's going to be good. But then there's more sadness and anger, lots of crying and lots of anger. And then Cody, we get the last scene. It's like the producers keep stepping up. Every episode is something worse that he says. Mm-hmm. And Cody says, men don't love people who don't respect them. And is it Cody or is it Confucius?
Yeah, exactly.
Here we go again. So that's where we're at.
And then when he's standing outside, he's talking to Trulli and he's like, are you excited to move? Oh, yeah. You know, he's like interrogating her as though he's like,
he doesn't know how to talk to her.
No, I'm like, there's a thousand things you could wait. You know, you have 5 minutes with your daughter that you probably haven't seen in a while. And like, you're going to ask her just like questions that are really what you want to know and not like how she's doing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, damn well, he doesn't care about. Not just
like, oh, let me tell you, I love you and I'm going to miss you. And
yeah.
Oh, are you excited to move? He doesn't know how to talk to
your children. You're not smiling. I remember I said earlier, you're not smiling. You don't look happy. And she's just looking at him like, are you stupid? Like what? She looked at him like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Like she doesn't, it's just so awkward because he doesn't know how to talk to her because he doesn't spend enough time with them.
And then he did mention in this episode that he needs to stop being so, what is the word he used? I can't even remember the word, but basically that he needs to stop getting his kids involved. He did kind of mention that, but then he proceeded
to start interrogating McKelty.
Of course. So that's why I was like, I had some hope that he was going to be.
Look, he's not being a completely narcissistic douchebag. Oh, wait.
Oh, there we go. There it is.
there it is. Oh, God. So ridiculous. I just can't. So let's talk about Janelle for a second here. So from what we understand, she's not moved out. We thought she had left. Maybe there were signs that she had left, but she has not left. But it seems to me that she's starting to get her gears going, realizing she didn't have assets, realizing Cody's behavior and all the stuff that's coming out now that maybe she's having some of the same experiences that people are having rewatching the series, right? She's starting to see things in a different light, mm-hmm. knowing what she knows now about what Cody has been and how he acts. Like now looking at things differently.
Oh, I think she's halfway out of the door, at least in this season. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it's just under wraps and she has left. It would not surprise me.
I would love that. Yeah.
She seems kind of done herself. She's just kind of like, blah. Hmm.
Yeah. And she has said, you know, her relationship was adequate. And it was fine. Like she did her own thing. He did his whatever. They were friends. Everything was fine. It was just fine. It was okay.
And by fine, she probably, again, just kind of picked her battles, kept quiet and just whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Cody. But then she's smart. She's in the background planning and doing all the things she's been doing over the years.
Yeah. But she realized she doesn't have assets. Right. And she didn't have any money because she's, you know, it was group money. It was family money. And she used, you know, their family. So of course we're going to use it to do this house and that house and that. But when it came for her turn, oh, there's no more. Cause all that money went to buying Robin's house and the empty land next to Robin's house. So hopefully she's seeing these things now in a different light and maybe realizing that she deserves better than she's mm-hmm. been getting to. I've lost all hope for Mary. I don't, you know,
no,
she's never going to leave.
I don't think so.
Her and Robin are going to go down with that ship. She's going to go down with it no matter what. And, you know, reminds me of, I don't know why this flashed in my head. I think a little on the younger side for this. Do you remember the Amy Fisher and Mary Jo Buttafuoco and Jo Buttafuoco?
Oh yeah,
story? The Long Mistress Island Lolita.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was very little. when that happened.
So there was a scene where they, or not a scene, I mean, it was real life, but there was an interview with Mary Jo Buttafuoco. It was right after she, like, not right after, but it was sometime after that, where she had stayed with her husband for a long time. And she was like, I love my Joey. I can't do the Long Island act. I love my Joey. I'm going to stay with it. I love my Joey. And I just picture Mary saying, I love my Cody, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just, yeah. I mean, Mary Jo Buttafuoco ended up leaving the day she wised up.
Right.
But anyway, Amy Fisher opened the door. Like, she shot Mary Jo Buttafuoco, who was the wife of the guy she was sleeping with.
Mm-hmm.
For those you don't
know. And she didn't serve much time. I feel like she got out pretty quickly, right? Like,
she ended up, I don't know what she served, but
it was way shorter than I thought it would be, because then she was out and then she was trying to sell herself, like, the story, like, you shot and almost killed somebody and you're making money off the story. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. But Amy Fisher, I don't know, how long did she do in jail? Let's see. Seven years.
She was sentenced
on December 2nd, 1992. God, I was in college then. Sentenced to 5 to 15 years. She served 7 years, was granted parole in May 1999 after Nassau County court judge shortened her maximum sentence to 10 years, which made her immediately eligible for parole.
People go to jail longer for dealing marijuana, and this woman shot another woman in the face for, I mean, that's crazy.
Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought, like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
I
was watching Below Deck, and I've spent my weekend watching. What else was I watching this weekend? I caught up. Oh, The Vow. Up on The Vow, the Keith Raniere trial and stuff. And they're just so horrific, some of that stuff that's coming out.
I think we should do a podcast on that once it finishes, and do like a big long one or something.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Do a story on. Yeah. That'd be good. There's a lot to that. There's so much to that story.
And then that keeps changing and getting worse, and there's just more information. And
right. This is like season two of The Vow, you know, because season one wasn't enough, because they were able to get season one. You know, I have to say that watching season one and stuff, there was a lot of things with it. I was like, okay, so where's the aspect of it that's wrong and illegal? Where's the illegal aspect?
It teetered at first on legal or illegal.
Because I'm like, okay, there's a lot of cultish stuff here, but so far they're just like convincing you, you know, you're paying high prices for human potential classes. Which human potential, what kind of made up fuckery is that? But whatever. So the field of human potential that they're in, right? It's like, like these really overpriced classes and stuff like that. But I kept like, what is the illegal?
The collateral.
But then when DOS became a thing and the collateral and then the branding and all that, I'm like, okay, now we're getting into stuff that there could be, you know, this coercive control stuff. There's, you know, all these aspects of, you know, because was it mind control? Cult control isn't illegal in and of itself, right? Just following a narcissistic cult leader isn't illegal. So, it was like the end of that one. And then this season, as we go to the trial, seeing all of this other stuff, in addition to the financial crimes that were happening, which I suspected, of course, there were going to be, you know, cover-ups and tax problems and all that kind of stuff. But all of the other stuff that we're talking to, that we're learning in this season about what they did, how DOS was created, and how much of a hand Keith Raniere had in it, and then all of the other stuff that they did, he did with the underage girls, and this, we're learning a lot more of the details of the all the illegal aspects, and just wow. It's crazy shit.
Yeah.
But it's good. I recommend it. It's on HBO. For those of you guys who don't know, it's called The Vow. It's about the Nexium cult. There's two seasons. The first season sort of goes into the, like, I guess it was kind of as it was happening. They're trying to get attention on this, you know, as people were learning what the problems were and sort of woke up to the cult aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So, and this one's the trial. Which is like,
yeah,
craziness. I was catching up on Survivor. I feel like, what else was I watching? I got sucked into watching something else too, and I can't remember what it is. But it was, oh, I know. I watched that. It was on Netflix. Pepsi, Where's My Plane?
Oh, I have no idea what that.
Okay, so that was really good. It's a good palate cleanser. For all of our heavy documentary true crime stuff, it's a really good palate cleanser. It's the story of how in the 90s Pepsi had this promotion where, like, you get Pepsi points and you can buy things.
This
guy, like, on the commercial was, you can get a Harrier jet for 7 million Pepsi points, and there was no disclaimers or anything. So this guy's like, oh, I'm gonna do this. 20-year-old kid was like, I'm gonna do that. And it's the story of how that whole thing happened, everything went down.
Wasn't there something crazy?
The lawsuit, but it's so much more than just about that. You know, just how he came into the financing to do it, and how the business, like, it was like this whole thing, and the relationships. And then Michael Avenatti makes an appearance, and it's just like that's a blast name from the past. I was like, what? Who appears he's under house arrest while he makes his appearance.
Oh,
in
my
this.
God.
They do his interviews at his house. Really great, fun, really great palate cleanser. It's also on Netflix. I watched that. I started watching that and with my husband, and my kid was watching it, part of it.
Nice.
Because he was here for Thanksgiving. So, yeah. Lots of good stuff out there. The other documentary that is so good that I will recently watch, it's on Hulu, called God Forbid.
What's that about?
You have not watched this yet, you need to watch this. Mm-hmm. This is I would put this at a high priority for you, above other stuff, maybe not above your work stuff and your school stuff. I mean, above it, on your TV watching hierarchy.
Right. I was like, after December 2nd, I'll watch whatever. my test.
Oh my God. What's the countdown? What's the countdown?
I don't, 2 weeks, I think. Less than 2 weeks.
God. I have it on my phone. 12 days left.
Oh my God.
You have 12 days left till your exam. Holy shit balls.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Okay, I'm gonna let you go so you can do something like sleep.
Go to sleep.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe you don't sleep. You just.
I do. No,
maybe you're a vampire and you subsist on. And that's how you do all the things you do. In any case, thank you guys for tuning in with us today. This is gonna come out Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving. There will be no. Unsolved Mysteries episode this week because of technical issues of traveling, and I'm Heather Lifemate and I are leaving town, and it's a whole, like, we just, the with his work schedule and being able to produce the episodes, it just, it's Thanksgiving, sorry guys. Maybe I'll find an old episode or something to release, I don't know, but we'll give you the Sister Wives episode. Come visit us at thefrogcast.com. Come visit our merch store. And there's going to be a Cyber Monday, or what is it? Black Friday Cyber Monday sale, where you can either get free shipping or you can get 25% off your order. Either one. So that's going to be happening all week. Come visit us on the socials. Let us know what you want to talk about, and we'll be happy to watch it for you. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you later. Bye.